say, I watched The Bear, which I really liked. Two seasons, very good. They're making a third already. I watched Shogun. I watched the last episode.
Oh, was
last
that good?
Night. I really liked it. Yeah,
the hell's very, Shogun? Very good. Where'd you watch that? What's that on?
It's on Disney. Yeah.
Are they actually trying to claw it back?
What?
I've seen things about claw Disney trying back. To claw, like, get away from the whole.
It's hard to say because everything that's coming out ABC. Now is going to be all that stuff. Mm. But you got to see what going forward. Mm. They're probably not doing themselves any favors because they just cast a Mexican chick as Rapunzel.
What's that?
As Rapunzel.
In, what's the show Rapunzel?
They're making a live-to-action Rapunzel movie now.
Why?
Because that's their thing now. They don't make animated movies anymore. They make live-to-action versions of them.
Why?
I don't know. They just want to do that. And like I've said in the past, till this day, they haven't made any money, these live-action ones.
Dude, fairy tales belong in, like, suspension of disbelief. Like, yeah. With the freedom of, like, animation, you know, we can get away with, like, shit that just looks...
I think what they're trying to do is they're still trying to captivate their older audiences. Like, you know, when we were kids, we grew up on Disney movies as well. We grow up, so we grow out of it. So what better way to get an old audience back into it? Like, look, your favorite movie as a child is now being remade as a live-action one. It's for you to watch too now.
Yeah, but it doesn't amp me up.
No,
you know what?
Of course not.
Do you know what I just bought a ticket for?
And what am I... Okay.
Nah, sorry. No, you're right. I was going to say, Terminator.
What? Yeah. The orchestra one where you can listen to it,
That came up and popped up, obviously, on the algorithm. Yeah. And a mate of mine messaged me and said, hey, man, you've ever gone to this? I said, no, I've been wanting to go to one of these, but I always miss out for whatever reason. He goes, let's do it. I go, all right, I'll throw it out in the group as well as a few others that probably may be interested. Man, I had at least half a dozen guys all come back to me and say, yeah, I'm in. Like, let's do it. Paid $140 for the ticket, $149.
What is it? It was a live orchestra.
It's the movie Terminator on a big screen with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra playing the soundtrack.
Oh, that's sick.
How sick is that?
That sounds awesome, yeah.
Yeah, and man, I was surprised. Like, so many guys got back to me, and a lot of it's falling on Greek Easter, so like, I can't do it.
When is Greek Easter?
Sunday. Yeah.
This Sunday.
No, not this Sunday. Like,
I didn't say this Sunday. I said Sunday.
End of this month.
Okay.
Yeah, the last weekend of this month or the start of next month. So maybe two weeks, something like that. It better not be this week. Hang on, wait. Oh. Wait a second. I bought the tickets. Surely.
I was supposed to be in Rye, so.
You're going to Rye for Easter?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be down there.
Oh, I'll see you.
I know, why not be
please
down
save
there?
Me.
When this weekend?
Whenever Greek Easter is.
Saturday, 4th of May is when Easter is.
That's it.
But the thing starts at 7:30, so Terminator goes for 3 hours. So 10:30, 11. That's usually the time you rock up to your parents' house. Anyway,
back by then.
How long are you on holidays for?
No, I'm going to Queensland on Friday.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh
yeah, yeah.
But I'll
be
back next Wednesday. Okay. I'm going to go for a half a week.
Anyway, my point was is that that's something that is an old audience thing. Terminator came out in 1984, right? So it's nearly 40 years ago. And that's one I'd never watch it again if they they've tried to remake Terminator. I hated it.
Yeah.
Right? I've tried watching them. They suck. But I'm happy to watch Terminator 1 with the Symphony Orchestra. That's a new element.
The movies of yore were classics because they were made with the specific writers, cast, all that. These remakes aren't being made with the same people, same writers, nobody. Mm. It's all new people trying their own hat at it instead of trying to earn their own...
Something on their own
merit. They're trying to lean on previous glories or whatever, you know, of other people's work.
Yeah. What were you saying before I cut you off?
One of my favorite Disney, I love the Disney catalog because I grew up on it. One of my favorites is the Robin Hood Disney movie, the one with the animals.
Ah, with
my literal ringtone is the song of the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Love it.
Is that a new phone? Yes. I need to get a new one. My battery's dying.
The 24
seconds.
Ultra?
Oh, yeah.
I went for the big boy.
Oh, yeah.
What are you paying a month on that?
For the actual phone?
Yeah.
50.
Jesus Christ. I can't do it. I can't tie myself into contracts like that.
Yeah, anymore, I don't do it anymore.
I can't. I just can't. Dude, I've had these Oppos. This has lasted me. This is a war horse of a phone, man, and it's only just starting to die because it's just too caked up. Like, the battery's just draining. You know what I mean? I've had it, what, two, 3 years? Oh.
So that was what was played in between, like, acts of the movie? In between, like, different acts of the movie.
Can you imagine that just going off during the cinemas? Everything's quiet.
It's just a rooster playing, like, a lute. A rooster playing a lute, and he's just humming that. like whistling that.
Didn't you send me that as a gift once and you were like rolling and I'm like,
yeah, I love it. Like, it's so good. It's just, it's just a rooster whistling a song.
Okay. Is that, yeah, that's is like that the one where they're like foxes?
Yeah, and the bears.
Yeah, I remember
and,
that one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Prince John's Prince John is like a wolf. No, the snake is his assistant.
Yeah, he's a lion.
Lion, the cowardly lion.
Cowardly lion, yeah.
That was a good one.
That was very good.
I used to watch it all the time.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of my favorites. Like that, Aladdin.
Aladdin?
Yeah.
No shit. Aladdin. Yeah, yeah, you couldn't remake Aladdin. I mean, they did.
Well, they did, but
no, I never watched
the same thing. So they've tried. They've said they're going to stay clear of all this stuff now because they've finally realized that it's they can't rely on ESGs to make money because it's like false. It's false.
I needed to buy you Hannah Gatsby's book.
False increases, basically.
Fat birthday. Take a.
I was going to get it for him.
So Shogun's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 episodes. Based on a novel, based on the actual Warring States period in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The names are changed to reflect the actual warlords. So instead of like Tokugawa, it's...
Gawa Toga?
Yeah, something like Toranaga.
Toranaga. Oh.
Instead of Tokugawa, it's Toranaga.
Why was that?
I don't know. The original writer from like the... I think it's from like the 50s or 60s just changed names because... He's pulled because there's like a British sailor that ends up in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a British sailor that ended up in Japan, like the, one of the first ones.
Mm.
So he's taken two historical stories, merged them, even though they're like 50 years apart,
mm-hmm.
just to kind of blend them together. It was like this Westerner who, you know, who experienced like that Warring States period.
Nah.
You know, like it climaxes with the. Like their version of like a massive civil war battle.
Isn't that what the last samurai was?
No, that was at the end of that dynasty.
I don't know. I only watched the last samurai like a year ago. Remember,
the last samurai is basically Japan fighting. The last samurai is the Japan fighting, basically having a civil war with the shogun and bringing power back into the emperor's hands to then accept Western influence.
Okay,
whereas. That's like 1800s, 1700s, whereas this is based in the 1600s, a whole 100 years.
Weren't they making an Assassin's game in that period?
Mm, yeah.
With the,
I think that's the next one, isn't it?
The Black Ninja and the Female Samurai.
Have they announced that?
Yeah, it's been floating around for ages. They all know it's happening.
Yeah, I remember they were talking about it.
Yeah, it was like a good show. 10 episodes, really good. Like
hang on. What are you doing? Burn.
I'm looking for dinner.
Dinner?
Yeah, no, I'm listening. I'm just looking for food. Just
now?
Yeah, I'm going to get the missus to go pick it up.
It was a bit of a slow burn, but it was good.
Yeah.
Not massive action, but there's some good action scenes, sets in there. And I watched Fallout.
Yeah, same.
Oh, the series?
Yeah, I really liked it.
I've been seeing the signs for it, but look, I've only ever played Fallout 4, so I got no idea.
Let me put Uber Eats away for a second.
You didn't like it?
I was in two minds. I liked it, and I also didn't like it.
I didn't like the end.
I think that, For me, I like some characters sold it really well, and
you didn't
some
like Maximus.
I didn't like Maximus.
I did not like him at all. Same.
I don't like the chick, and I don't like Maximus.
I liked the chick; she was good because I thought it was a good reflection of Vault people. They're all stuck in an era.
Very naive.
Yeah. You know, the okie dokie, whatever.
Yeah.
And I liked how all the stories intertwined. Maximus, mm-hmm. I hated from the start.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's not what the Brotherhood entails. Yeah. The whole point of the Brotherhood is you're a Brotherhood.
Yes.
You're all looking out for each other.
Yeah.
You're not hazing each other.
Yeah.
You're not trying to destroy each other's careers. He was like very,
even though the Brotherhood took him in, he was very like...
selfish.
Yeah.
Self-involved.
Yeah. The character was just weird in general as well. Like it was...
Like I even like with the knight treating him that way, like... That's not a thing, you know? Yeah. But I suppose they had to put their own twist on it. He was the person I didn't like in the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found the end. I didn't like the twist.
Mm-hmm.
But
the twist.
You could kind of see it coming because it's like in traditional Fallout fashion, like, you know, the Vault tech are monsters.
Yeah.
Like the people themselves. And if you know much about the lore, that's what it is. But I liked how there was like just like Easter eggs throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
Every episode there was just Easter eggs.
Yeah.
I liked the ghoul, like what they did with him. That was really cool.
He That was very well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very cool. Strong character.
Yeah.
That was probably, I think that's everyone's favorite at the moment, though. That's the problem.
Mr. House was in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Spoiler.
Do I have to cut that out?
No. It is a big spoiler. That's a big spoiler.
All right. Sorry. Uh-huh.
So Mr. House was in it. That's all.
Done. Yeah.
Just cut back to that. And cut that out.
I love how you...
And then that.
All right, back to Uber Eats.
Back to that.
Speaking of Uber Eats, did you see... what's the Japanese restaurant that's shutting down? Is a... Kai, what's it called?
What? Akami.
There's a famous... There's a well-known Japanese restaurant that's shutting down. It's been like 15 years old.
In Victoria?
Yeah, in Melbourne, the CBD. Oh, yeah. Is a Kai or something? I can't remember. I keep forgetting the name of it. They're shutting down like... He says that he hasn't paid himself a wage for like 3 years or something, blah, 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 blah. Comes as like Rosetta shut down at Crown. That's gone. There's all these restaurants shutting down in the hub. Well, they're saying it's not profitable anymore.
This is on the back of that $60 meal conversation.
Yeah, people have to accept that a main meal should cost $50.
Yeah. I think it was 60.
Well, they said
for a main meal.
For a main.
A main should be $50.
In order for them to survive.
People need to start normalizing.
Are the supplies being supplied by virgins or something? Rolled off their thighs and, you know.
Oh, what? I don't have underwear on, man.
What do you mean $50 to $60 for a main?
Let me finish. All right, I'm not defending it, by the way. I wanted your opinions on it.
Well, I think you got it.
No,
I
think-
How far do you think I can push this? How far do you think I can push this before he actually has to leave the room?
Stop. All right. Listen.
The conversation
has come up that these restaurateurs are basically saying people need to get their heads around that we need to normalize the fact that a main has to cost at least $50 to be profitable for the restaurateur, right? The reasoning behind it, wages gone up, inflation's gone up, cost of living's gone up, supplies has gone up. So potatoes that cost maybe $2 a kilo, whatever, now cost like $10 a kilo.
Nah, bull crap.
What do you reckon's in a Sicilian salad?
Some sort of chili.
I guarantee you, John doesn't know.
The like, Sicilian salami.
Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Basil.
Olive oil. Bocconcini.
How does that make that Sicilian?
Why are you looking at Sicilian salads?
Because I'm hungry.
Can you just stay on point, man? What do you think? Do you think that we should be normalizing $50 meals?
I think the government should be addressing inflation. Cost to living charges.
It depends where you go. Obviously.
I went to Squire's Loft last week.
That's never cheap.
No, it is. Squire's Loft is a very cheap steak joint.
You reckon?
For what it is.
I mean, I haven't been there for a few
years.
What did
you pay?
Look, the rump is like $35 or something.
Oh, that's not too bad.
250 grams.
Does it come with any sides?
Yeah. Chips or salad or...
That's pretty decent. Yeah. Was this like a lunch special good. Budget?
No, evening, regular evening.
That's actually all right.
Yeah.
200 grams?
I mean, not majority bad. The mains
and the cuts aren't shit meat. Like it's decent meat.
Mains are like 30 to 35. Yeah, 27 to 35.
I always assume, depending on what the main is, right? If it's pasta or if it's a meat or whatever, you're going to pay about $28 to $39.
But are these places that like that sell themselves as upscale restaurants, and therefore they should be charging $50 more, like $50 for a main,
medium to upscale,
medium to up? Yeah.
Well, maybe they should take their thumbs out of their asses.
Like, I had ribs the other day, and I paid $60 for them. And
were they good?
Yeah, I was okay with it.
I mean, Squire's Loft, I think I paid $50 for ribs a couple of years ago. Okay. I don't know if it's still that.
I've got no idea.
I've had TGI ribs are, what, $40? $35, $40?
TGI is ridiculously expensive, though.
They're not that special. Like, they're pretty dry, overcooked most of the time, and they slathered in, like, a Jack Daniel's shitty sauce. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I go to this, like I went to another place, like a small place, and yeah, $60 for the ribs. They didn't have sides, but it was, like I would choose that every single, like I'd pay the extra $20 to get a quality, enjoying meal.
I went with a mate to a brisket joint out in Springy, like near Springy Junction.
Brisket joint? Was that?
Springy Junction, where the kebab place is, where the shops are next to J-Car, there's a brisket joint that's opened up there. They do burgers, brisket rolls, like all that sort of shit, okay. Yeah? Man, I remember- picking up the bill on that, and it wasn't... I remember getting it, and I'm like, this is pretty decent, because we ate like fucking pigs.
Mm-hmm.
I was stuffed, and we had like sides, we had a dessert, we had... I think we might have shared a dessert, and we had like... My mate had a burger and a meal or whatever. I had a meal. There was definitely a couple sides on the table.
Mm.
It was reasonable. And I couldn't breathe after we finished eating, man.
Yeah. Mm.
you know, I think the restaurateurs are like just starting to lose their minds because the rent is that high up in the city.
Yeah.
And it's like, sorry, man, but we're all like feeling the pinch. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. I mean, like, you pick your mark. People obviously going to... Some people are going to go... Like, yeah, again, that place that I'm talking about is packed every night. It's not cheap, but it's packed every single night. There's people out there that are willing to pay it, but then, you know, like, old mate on the corner who does, like, stir fries on the spot for $10 is also packed.
Yeah.
There's something for everyone. It's just, like, you got to pick your mark.
See, it really annoys me when, like, a restaurant, like, that Japanese joint in the city is like, oh, you know... This place is shutting down. What a shame. And, you know, it's tragic and blah, blah, blah.
Look at, I don't know anything about this place, but look at, you know, Ikami?
Yeah.
Like that place, it's the first time I went
there. Is that all you can eat?
Yeah. It used to be $35, and I think they finally put up to like $38. All right. It's been $35 since I first started going there like 7 years ago.
Mm.
And they finally just put it up $3. That place is still pumping. They did shut down a few of them. But majority of them are still around, and they're still pumping, and they're churning out thing, and they've just got a set price.
I've got to be honest, I'm not a fan.
Of Ikami? Really?
That is that all-you-can-eat joint, yeah?
Yeah, but it's not like a smorgasbord. You order everything that's made for you on the spot.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it because it comes out in too smaller portions for too bigger groups.
I found it was too heavy and oily.
I've only ever had
like
it once.
All their fried, maybe it was that specific place.
I've had it once or twice.
But everything was dripping, man. It was...
You're talking to him.
Yeah.
He's like, it's delicious.
It's delicious.
He had his banana bread.
Scrumptious? It's delicious.
Banana bread deep fried and buttered.
No, I do find that as well. Like, I think it's the type of place you can't go to with a massive, massive group.
Yeah.
Maybe max five people, six tops.
Yeah, definitely went with more than that.
Yeah, that's what you got to, because they sometimes, the stuff that they can churn out quick, they'll churn it out quick, but some stuff can take a little while. Sometimes you get it at just before you're about to have your dessert and, oh, yeah, that was that thing I ordered an hour ago.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody else is ordering the same stuff. But usually, like, you order, the whole point is you're supposed to order what you can eat. They can charge you if there's leftovers.
Yeah.
So that's why I think people get a bit, not stingy, but they're kind of like, you order what you need, you're going to go through it, and then when they bring it, you order stuff straight away as soon as it's been brought. So you always got food coming. Because you're going to knock it out really quick.
I love John's strategic policies, you know, for like all you can eat. It's got it all down pat.
Yeah, yeah. Phase one.
Phase one, sushi.
Now, you're going to sit down. Phase two,
salads.
Can you imagine him going there with someone that doesn't know the system and he's like tries to order something out of routine?
Yeah, hey.
Put it down.
Hey,
put it down.
Hey, you vouch for this guy. You vouch for this guy. Hey, look, man, I know.
I know you don't eat carbs.
Waiter comes over. Gomenasai. Don't worry about this guy.
I know you don't eat carbs, but in your area.
I just ordered a pizza, so.
Okay. All right. So I guess he's off the horse. He's back on the horse. No, how does it go?
He's off the horse.
He's off the horse.
Jeez, what a Seinfeld moment.
If
that
you're
was.
Off the horse, it means you fell off the horse. You're no longer going.
But if he's on the horse, that means he's back on the carb.
I'm looking this up because this is.
Just pull up the episode.
Have you been to. Talking about carbs. Have you been to Holy Toast?
Yes.
Is that best place ever?
I made good friends with those guys.
They were really friendly to everyone.
So I go to bed pretty late, and the couple of times in the last couple of months, actually, is when I went. My missus was like waking up. I was getting ready to sleep, and we were like, "Hey, let's just go for breakfast, like stuff it." And we walked around, found that place, managed, you know, went in. Guy started talking. Good conversation, good food.
Quite like it. I like
very clean,
very clean.
Like. Yeah, like keto-friendly options.
Yeah.
All locally sourced meats and...
The only thing that annoys me is they shut it too.
Yeah, they close super early.
Yeah.
But his mum makes banana bread.
Ooh.
Did he sell you on that?
No.
Really good. She makes really good banana bread.
Yeah.
Like, shits on that.
Oh, of course it would.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy good.
I probably go there maybe once every 2 weeks now. Probably usually on a day off or something.
Yeah.
Try and get there like a little afternoon snack. Before it shuts.
I love tuna melt was good.
Yeah. The Reuben I love.
Reuben was really good.
Where is the special sauce?
Holy Toast on Station Street in Cheltenham.
Because you just named the what was it called? Oh, I think I went to one called Hugo's in Mornington the other day, which is the same exact menu that you guys are talking about. There was a Reuben.
It's purely just toasties.
Yeah.
The menu's just toasties.
That's literally, there was tuna melt, which is what I got. My mate got a Reuben, and there was that four cheese melt thing as well.
Because I go to those hobby stores there, and I usually just used to go to that cafe on that corner.
Yeah.
But I find the coffee sometimes a bit burnt.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, let's. And I saw them. I'm like, oh, I'll check that out. Oh, they make toasties. Oh, let's try it.
Yeah, Reuben. I wanted to try their meatball, but I haven't tried that one.
I've just had the Reuben so far like five times.
Reuben's really good.
The Reuben, Tuna Melt's really good. You can't go wrong with the Reuben.
Their sauce, their holy sauce.
Yeah, that's what's in the Reuben, isn't
it? Yeah, but I get extra the dip. It's so good.
I love it because I think it's that or it's the actual meat of the
hang on,
the pastrami.
Do you dip your sandwich into the sauce?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I find that so fucking pretentious. I don't know why. I don't know. It's like an extra thing.
It's
like,
not pretentious.
No, but it's like, did you need to do it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I always.
It's like a Big Mac. It's like their version of a Big Mac sauce almost, but not as sweet.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I don't know if you ever had it growing up. I think you might have, liverwurst.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
The Reuben is the flavor of it. I don't know if it's a special sauce or just the meat itself. It almost tastes like liverwurst, and it's just like gold.
Isn't liverwurst just pressed, like different bits of meat?
I don't know. I was under the assumption that it was like liver almost like
offal.
Liver growing up, and then I found out it wasn't. It's just pork.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, liverwurst, here we go. Is a type of sausage made from liver.
Really. Oh, it is.
Oh, there you go.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
It's eaten in Europe, North and South America, especially in Argentina and Chile. Liverwurst is usually made with pork or calf liver, but it can also contain other meats like beef or chicken.
But it doesn't taste like liver.
It's seasoned with spices like black pepper, salt, mustard
and
seed,
it's like a
white
paste.
Pepper, or spiced coriander.
Yeah. German butcher in Oakley. That's where you
That's
get
gone.
It. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's gone. Portman Street.
Oh, yeah.
That's been there forever.
I went to Oakley for the first time yesterday, and I don't know, like a year.
For
the first time ever. There was, for some reason, there were so many Greeks there, Andy. I don't know why.
Like, I was in Italy.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on?
All I heard is manja everywhere.
You're fucked. Portman Street Butcher, the Austrians.
Yeah.
They were Austrians.
Yeah,
there
was like, yeah.
They're gone.
I didn't know that.
They've been gone for over a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was like an institution.
I walked past and it was
an institution.
And you know what happened? The Austrians sold it to Greeks. The Greeks ran into the ground.
Of course they did.
No, literally. That's literally what happened. They were the best, man.
You want to hear about pretentious?
Oh, here we go.
Before we organized to do this podcast today, I went to my butcher, saw a fairly large pie in the window, and I went in with like my hoodie up. I was pretty much wearing this. And I haven't seen the guy before, and I said to him, I'm like, how much can I grab that big fuck-off pie in the window? And he looked at me and he's like, it's $75. And I'm like, I didn't ask for the price, man. I want the pie. He probably thought I was like a homeless dude or something. But it's just-
Money first.
Just tap here before we give you the bag there.
How big is this pie?
Apparently it feeds.
The size of the table.
I'm just walking home with this.
$75.
$75. It's Wagyu beef, and it has a bone marrow bone sticking in the middle out of it.
Oh, my God.
It's very hoity-toity.
How do you put it in an oven?
Oh, it'll fit in the oven.
I'll
squeeze it in there.
Even with the bone sticking out
of it? Yeah. But apparently it feeds eight people. There's no way it's going to feed eight people.
So if we're going to feed two,
it's going to go down.
He gives his hands different names. Yeah. George, Greg, welcome to the party. It's $75. Even he didn't think you were good for the money, man. It's a pie, bro.
Oh,
who's your butcher?
Meatsmith.
Where's that?
Brighton.
Brighton?
Mm.
Okay. There's one in Hyatt.
There's one in St. Kilda. Footscray. They just opened one in Brighton. That's just really close to me, so.
See, I can't take that seriously. You walking into like a meatsmith.
I shouldn't have said what I said because I think I threw him off. I probably shouldn't have said, give me the fuck off pie in the window.
Well, that's what it was.
No, it was, but I told my missus afterwards, I'm like, the guy like didn't think I was going to pay for this. And she's like, well, why'd you call it a fuck off pie?
His face is already on the back wall.
Have you seen that video in Italy where the guy, the tourist, doing shit to infuriate Italians?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's eating like spaghetti.
Oh, that has to be staged. Yeah. The majority of it's staged, surely.
You reckon?
Surely.
The reactions...
The Italian reactions
look like legit.
Yeah, but still, like, some of it's just, like, too perfect.
I don't know.
Wogs do... Like, Italians do react that way. Like, what, are you serious?
Yeah.
But still, I don't know.
They look horrified.
I'm a little bit sus.
I'm just trying to think what he does. He cuts the spaghetti with the scissors.
Mm. Yeah.
He puts ketchup, like tomato sauce on the pizza.
Yeah. As if they're looking at what you're eating.
Oh, he puts ice in his wine.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. And they take the glass away from him.
Like,
They can't do that.
That's what I mean. They're too... It's staged. It has to be staged.
Can they not do that? Fiddly.
You can do what you... No, no. I mean, like...
Yeah, but they can never... Yours. They can never take food away from you.
Are you sure?
After they've served it to you because you're not eating it properly.
I think they can.
No.
Have you... We had an argument about bolognese, bolognese, if you add one ingredient extra
to it. That's different.
Which we settled on a no.
That's different. We didn't settle on that. That's a different kettle of fish.
Hmm.
That's naming properties. We're talking about naming. Serving suggestions here.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Well, don't restaurants have the reserve the right to refuse to serve you or something?
Yeah, no, but that's management has the right to refuse entry.
Yeah, right? But if they and deem that
you're
going
they can cut you off at the bar if you're drunk, but you're not drunk if you're putting... Pizza.
Maybe they just like.
Do you know what's going to happen? You're going to go to an Italian police officer and be like, "Excuse me, sir, they took my pasta away." He's going to go be like, "What are you doing? Oh, they cut his pasta. All right, he's going to jail." Yeah. Like, what are you going to do at that point? I need who are you going to complain to?
Backup.
Jail.
Bring in SWAT. Bring in SWAT.
The cops drop everything with the mafia and they come straight over to the dude cutting the pizza with his pasta with his scissors.
The whole street just becomes, hey, yo,
boppity boopy.
You know you're trolling yourself.
I don't care. I can laugh at myself.
This is comedy, Dim.
Yes. Comedy gold.
It's not, I had my period last night.
You love it.
I do.
I don't know, man. I can't. The amount of estrogen on TV. Anyway.
It's too damn high.
What? Anyway.
It's too damn high.
Moving along. Again, I think I've cut you off like four times today.
Yes, you have.
Might as well be a foreskin at this rate.
Jesus. Oh, speaking of equality.
Are those notes?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, why?
Oh,
his notes.
They are notes. Too.
Oh, I can't see yours from here, obviously.
I didn't get it early enough to write them down. I was going to ask you, speaking of quality, I saw this on the thing and it fucking annoyed me. Nathan Buckley, air footy player, he's forced to auction
his footy player.
Is he a coach still?
Nah.
Isn't he like 60 now?
No. He'd be like in his
50s? He's late 40s, I think, early 50s. Mm. He's not that old. He's gone through a divorce settlement. He's forced to auction off his trophies for the divorce settlement.
What?
Why? Yeah.
How does that make sense?
Monetary value.
So there's no sentimental value to him.
But that's his monetary value, isn't it? Like, yeah, are there things that he's specifically yours?
So when you go through a divorce, John, you essentially have to divvy up everything. Unless it's in a prenup, unless it's in a trust under someone else's name. You know, like if I have a son, I can put my property
down. But they're achievements. That's not...
Hang on. One thing at a time.
It doesn't say fucking Marianne and Nathan.
One thing at a time. If I'm going...
This is bullshit!
Can you let me finish?
I'm out!
Listen, if I'm going through a divorce, all right? The smart thing would have been to take my property and put it under, my son's name.
That's what a soccer player's mum did. His stuff was in his mum's name. So his wife, when she divorced him, she wanted to take all his stuff. It's like, it's all in my mum's name.
It's my mum's name.
Yeah, so she got shafted.
Yeah, that's a common thing. That's not... I know a lot of people that have done it, right? So that's different. These trophies were part of the mutual pool of assets.
Mr. Burns.
How is it a mutual pool of assets?
Because it's part of his assets. Like, superannuation is up for grabs. If you're going through divorce, your super gets put on the chopping block. I know this.
Bull crap.
Dude, Mr. Burns knows this, man. Didn't a rat or something own Mr. Burns' fortune?
I don't know.
I thought you would have known that.
It wouldn't surprise me, though.
His heir was like a rat, and Mr. Smithers, Mr. Smithers was like, oh, I get everything or something. He's like, no, my rat is getting it or something. Anyway.
No.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
No, dude.
It's probably a newer episode, yeah?
No, something. Old.
I'm telling you, in a divorce, I know this for a fact, in a divorce, your superannuation is up for grabs as an asset to be mutually pooled.
You've copped it, have you?
No, not me personally, no. But I know this.
Does this go both ways?
Have I been
ways?
Married, you idiot?
Does this go both ways?
Let me chip in here. They say it does, but it absolutely, and I know this firsthand too, does not.
Yeah.
I'll agree
with that.
But they say it does. They say it's equal grounds, 50-50, but it's absolutely.
It's not. There'll be arguments to be made.
Oh, who was it? There was reading, was it a...
We haven't gotten off topic yet.
He hasn't even finished yet.
I'm just explaining you the law of the land.
Rapper?
I was reading, there was
Ben
a... there was a rapper that I think... Oh, it was 50 Cent. And
he declared himself bankrupt.
No.
People were making jokes about
him. And then he had the photo of himself on the bed with all the pills.
Basically, his baby mum or whatever.
He's got two kids.
Yeah.
50 Cent has two kids, Sia, and I can't remember the other kid's name. One of them, he's got a very good relationship with one of them, and the other one, he's got an issue with the mother, and the mother turned his son against him, so he doesn't.
Could be that one there. I don't know. She, basically, one of the two mothers, I don't know who, but basically, she was getting, like, the child care, whatever you call it, child welfare. And I think she was getting, like, I don't know, $250K a month.
Is that all?
And she was trying to get more out of him.
Oh.
And he did something where he took himself to court, and he basically then successfully won, and it brought it down to, like, $3K a month.
Probably the smartest man in history at that, right?
50 Cent's a gun, man.
He's
actually a genius.
He's a genius. He's an absolute genius. Anyway.
He's a motherfucking lyrical genius.
So, Nathan Buckley, in the divorce settlement, his trophies have got a monetary value.
I'm sorry, what did she do? I remember the wife. What did she do?
I don't remember Nathan Buckley.
Oh, she's an Instagram model.
She's an Instagram model.
I just remember seeing her at the Brownlows.
Oh, probably, man.
No, hang on, man.
She'd be around the same age.
You're thinking of, what's her name? Bartel, Nadia Bartel.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. You mixed them up. She lives the Brighton chick, right?
No, that's Chris Judd's wife.
Oh, I give up.
Well, they're part of the same crew,
man. Yeah.
Bartel, Nadia Bartel, the woman who...
AFL Housewives or whatever the hell they're called.
Nadia Bartel's a sticky. She's the one that had the plate of cocaine during COVID.
Oh, remember? That's right.
Yeah, and she lost all her endorsements and came out groveling.
Yeah.
And Nadia Bartel's a sticking point for me because she never dropped her surname after she got divorced, after she left Jimmy Bartel. And it's like, and she says, oh, I want to have the same surname as my children. If my children were older, it'd be a different story. It's like, no, because no one would know who the hell you are.
Yeah.
And the sad part is that I actually looked her up during this period. She was she went to law school. She graduated with like a law degree and then became Jimmy Bartel's wife. And now she's an influencer. Yeah. Anyway, off that, so I don't know what Nathan Buckley's wife is or does or whoever she is, but in the part of the divorce settlement, his trophies have got a monetary value. That monetary value now has been carved up. He's got to sell his shit, like whatever his Brownlow or whatever else he's won or whatever it is. His jumpers, like an autographed jumper, $50,000. Yeah, all right, put it in the pool.
That's disgusting.
Do you reckon that's right?
No, of course not. That's foul.
How does that even make it? That's purely sentimental.
And okay, let's be fair. Along those lines, then he's entitled to half her shoes. Sell them all, and I want my half of those too.
But when we say 50-50...
I'll look it up. I'll look up the actual article.
The problem is that when these things happen, the 50 is coming from like the 95% or the 98%.
Yeah.
So one person's massively winning, and usually that's the female. When they say 50-50, it would have to be the other way around, but it rarely is.
Hmm.
Let's be honest.
50% of the 95% income.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's probably, let's be honest, it's 100%.
Yeah.
It's 100%. He's got 100%. She's got zero. It brings it down to
99.98% of the income.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So here's the article, okay?
Yeah.
This is at the Daily Mail. Footy legend Nathan Buckley forced to buy back his own AFL medals and jumpers after divorce sees his footy memorabilia go to auction.
So I was actually reading an article.
Can I read the article?
All right, okay.
I started reading it. Oh, you're a bum.
Go.
Okay, so he'll be forced to buy back his prized possessions, including premiership medals and jumpers, with his career to go under the hammer at auction as part of his divorce. After separating from his wife, Tanya, in 2020, all of his memorabilia was appraised and will now be sold to the highest bidder. That leaves Buckley forced into the tough decision on which memorabilia to buy back and which to let go. He has already successfully repurchased his 2003 Brownlow medal, his 2002 Norm Smith medals, his 6 Copeland trophies for an undisclosed amount. However, over 200 items from Buckley's football career over the last 3 decades are to be auctioned on May 1st, which means the Collingwood champion is reluctantly parting with items he once hoped would return to the clubs and institutions he played for.
Yeah.
Do you know how disgusting that is?
It is.
And in the first opening sentence alone, it shows you how foul that is of his career going under the hammer. Is that what-
His quote is, obviously it's part of a long quote, but- I never viewed these items as commodities and thought that in the fullness of time, they would be returned to the clubs or institutions I represented at the time. I used to hope this transpires.
You would think the people who bought them would just do that.
Because it's past monetary value to these people. That's what I was saying. These are achievements. They're not something to be auctioned off.
So, I was reading an article the other day and there was a thing back in like the 1840s or something like that. Where I think specifically in America, where it was like farmsteads.
Where they used to burn women because they're witches. I see why now.
I don't think it was that. Maybe like 1890, something like that.
A little bit after that.
Maybe 1920s, I don't know. But it was like farmsteads that were basically the people had to sell their farms and would go to auction because they just couldn't like keep up payments, or they had to sell it because they didn't have money or whatever. They defaulted on the loan, so the bank would take it, and then they would take it to the stocks for auction and thingo. There was like a mutual agreement with all the other farmers there that they would specifically undervalue it and buy it for like, I don't know.
To help each other out.
$1,000, let's say. This, we're talking like 200 years ago. Mm. And then what they would do is they purposely do that and then sell it back to the same farmer for the same price.
Yeah.
So therefore, they default on the loan and then they don't have to buy it back for like $1,000.
Yeah.
And as a warning.
Scam the system.
Yeah, but as a warning to anybody else who was trying to then take the property for themselves, they would have a noose hanging in like these stocks for anyone that was trying to take it advantage of their fellow farmers.
Intimidation.
Yeah. So they're still helping each other out.
So you're saying we need to start putting nooses in front of our property?
Nathan Buckley needs a noose in front of his trophy cabinet.
No, what I'm saying is like nooses on each one. The people that would buy these things would just like buy them cheap and then just give them back to him or give them to Collingwood or whatever.
No, that's.
But that's what I'm getting at. That's a communal thing where they're looking after each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Not greedy assholes that are just looking out for themselves. We look after
people. People don't even indicate anymore when they merge lanes.
They don't even thank you when you let them through.
Do you know how many times I've slammed brakes this week? Like, beeped? Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
On the way here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, what are you doing? Hey, do you not see me here? And they fucking literally beep.
I got so fed up, I had to take the back streets all the way here. Couldn't do it.
Anyway. I just thought that was interesting. Like, how does something that, like a trophy that you've earned yourself off your own merit and ability, how does that, like, I can see the inherent value of it, but how is that okay to put that on the pool and, like,
her entire wardrobe sold. I want half of it. Done.
Again, it's not even going to come close. And that's his money.
But what I'm getting at is because that's the same sentimental value.
It's his money.
That would be the same sentimental value that she would have for that entire thing.
You can't even compare them.
I know it's not comparing.
A pair of shoes, dude, a mass marketed. There's probably thousands of them made. He won the Brownlow.
He won the Brownlow. But that, what I'm getting at is that would be the same hit to her emotionally as it is to him. Even though we don't think it is, it would be the same equivalent.
But
I want her grade 5 spelling bee certificate.
Now, see, that I'm not saying that. No, I'm just saying. Like, the money that she thought that she spent on all those thousands or half a million dollars worth of clothes.
How did you buy those shoes, ma'am? With this card? What's the name on the card?
Nathan Buckley.
Is that a joint account?
Collingwood Football Club. It's like management. It's like one of those business cards. You know what I mean? Yeah, no shit.
Look, I will put my stance in. If this was reverse and she was the football player who's a professional, done amazing things in her career, I'd be on her side.
Yeah.
I'm not taking just the guy's side. I'm saying this is a wrong situation in general. The whole thing just is wrong. It's very wrong.
Talking about wages, have you seen how people are getting the sads over this WNBA
again?
Rookie?
What rookie?
So somebody showed like what a rookie makes in the NBA compared to what this. I think her name is Caitlin Clark.
I don't know.
And they showed what she makes as a rookie. She's making like 76K for the year, and like a rookie makes like 10 mil a year.
Oh, wait. So, a rookie in the NBA versus a rookie in the WNBA?
This specific female rookie who's, like, number one player in the NBA at the WNBA at the moment. And for some reason, they decide to show it, and it's all over the sports news again. And it's all just started.
Why do they
again.
Keep going down the same rabbit hole?
I don't know, but it's just funny to watch.
If you can't explain basic economics, it's literally basic. Dude, WNBA, been in existence for 20 years, never made a single dollar's profit, fighting to keep people in the stands. Every year, its funds are supplemented from the NBA.
Because it's just come up again. And it's like, what? And someone, who was it? They came out and said, all right, just pay them what they want.
It wouldn't exist.
Yeah, but let's see how long it lasts. Pay them what they want and let them sustain themselves and let's see how long it lasts.
But the money literally doesn't exist. Exactly. They'd have to print money like the German government.
Yeah. Start stocking up on art, European art, in their vaults.
The general manager of like the Vixens, you know what I mean? He's got this Saison underneath just the team poster.
Oh, that's
takes the team poster down. There's like precious artwork. As soon as they get kicked out of the playoffs, just takes the painting, gets on the plane.
You're going to sell this to some collector in China because you're going to make wages for next month.
And they're looking at it. It's fake.
It's like the Mr. Bean poster where it's just
with the little nice drummer.
Dude, you know, that the fact that it is even in the conversation to keep going around,
but it
and
just
around.
Came up. I it just popped up. I'm like, what the hell? So I had to watch it. It's freaking cold.
Are there any sports that women are more naturally inclined to that would dominate over men? I'm just going off center here.
Debates.
Lingerie football.
Yes, I would rather watch women in lingerie than men.
But would they the be point? Better at it if men played it?
Jonathan Brown's just palming women. He's got a brassiere on.
Boosh. He's just like there.
Bucks just kicking a goal. He's got jocks on. No, honestly, I'm not being...
Yeah, debating, I think.
Debating?
In a physical, yeah. Like a... You know,
what
like
do you mean debating?
Because you can't win against a female in debate.
Sure you can. Once you start using reason, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. There's once no you start reason. Using logic.
There's no logic. There's
so
no reason.
One says, sure you can. You use reason and logic, you win. He says, you can't use reason and logic. There is no reason.
I want to know how many conversations you've won.
I win all my conversations.
With females? He talks to himself.
Because you see, the thing is...
Listen.
That's why he's in Rosebud all the time. He wins every argument.
I win all of them.
He looks in a mirror. He's got a brassiere.
He's got one hand with fingernails painted, and he's just pointing.
Ask him. Okay. Ask
putting
him.
Putting lipstick on here.
I've got nothing to do with this.
When it comes to it, if I have to argue, I can jibber jabber all day.
Jibber jabber.
Oh, so you bore them to death.
Oh, yeah.
It's the submission till they're asleep.
They're like, I've never been more turned up in my life.
I'm being dead set honest. Are there, like...
No. In physical sport?
In physical sport, would there be a sport where women's genetics and physique would be better tailored to the actual sport itself?
So... An interesting thing is I saw a video once where two American female Olympic gymnasts, gold medal winners, you would think as gymnasts, because they're smaller, they would be able to do things
limber.
More limber, flips quicker, stuff like that. They tried to replicate the same flips that male gymnasts were doing, and they couldn't do it.
Mm.
And then
based on what? Just strength?
Just based on the men were actually more, like, able to do the flips easier. Like, they would try to do their, what do you call it? Like, their...
The routine.
Their routine. They could not replicate it at all. It was just too difficult.
Are we talking, like, balance beam? We're talking, like...
It was, like, you know, the big one where they run from corner to corner. And
they do the flips.
The actual floor routine.
Floor routine. The balance one, you know, the pummel horse, whatever you call it.
The rings?
The ring. Like, all of them. They could not do it.
They None couldn't replicate the male's routine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which you would think it would be the other way because the women the being smaller, weight distribution and all that. But yeah. Sports, and these are two women, gold medal winners for America.
Hey, I'm going to look at this. Naturally better at. Let's have a look. Google. What are some sports that women are naturally better at women?
Football.
No,
soccer.
No, it says here, the first one that comes up is long distance swimming. Where, especially in cold water, is one sport that I know of. Where women biologically have an advantage over men due to a high percentage of body fat.
What's the current record in the world for swimmer?
No, is long it a man or swimming. Long
that's like when they
well, they do like the fucking the bat straight or something.
What's the world record? Well, who holds it?
Who, man or didn't a woman? Ian Thorpe used to do like the really long distance stuff, like in the pool? It was like
I don't know.
You keep firing them
50
off,
laps or whatever it was. Compare his time to the female version of it. Like whose would be quicker?
Thorpe's records were broken ages ago, weren't they?
Were they? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Are girls better at endurance? This study shows for the first time that the gap between men and women shrinks when trail running distances increase, which demonstrates that the endurance is greater in women. Although women narrow the performance gap with men as race distance increases, top male performers still outperform the top women.
But what other examples? What sports are they talking about? Are we talking marathon? Are we talking bikes?
Long distance sort of shit, yeah.
Yeah, but if they're not being specific, you can only take it as, like, speculative.
Mm. Yeah.
If it was marathon, all right, let's look at a male marathon, their time, compared to a female marathon time.
That's what I'm doing right now.
What do you mean?
That's what I'm looking at right now.
Like a 5K run or 20K run.
Oh.
You know, for a male 20K marathon, when they start to when they finish, they get timed.
Yeah.
So then you look at a female one. How long does it take a female compared to a male?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Look.
I've got a few records here, and these are all men's names.
Maybe they're gender-neutral names.
I think you brought that up.
Veljko? You think that's gender-neutral?
Featuring like a Romanian with a lot of chest hair.
Pulse me my tympan.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
So, do you know who Patricia Manuel is?
No.
Absolutely.
Do you?
No.
Fuck off. He's got no idea. I
had coffee with him at Holy Toast. So, he was a boxer.
Uh-huh.
Well, Patricia Manuel is a trans boxer.
Okay.
Yeah, toast. I mean,
oh, is this the guy that got knocked out last week?
In 21 seconds in the first fight.
Yeah.
So it was a woman who's transitioned to a male,
yeah,
gone into men's UFC or boxing fight.
Boxing.
Yeah. First fight, got the sponsorship to be the brand new face of Everlast as well.
Really? Yes, I didn't know that.
Yes. So face of Everlast.
Yeah.
First fight, so there's basically a woman fighting a dude, and she was knocked out in 21 seconds.
That's not the one that knocked herself out, is it?
That big chunky woman, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With two weight classes.
That's a different one.
That's like super, super heavyweight against like featherweight.
Didn't the guy just step to the side, drop a straight right, knock her out?
All right, let's see. I haven't seen, but apparently they've tried to scrap all footage of it. Because they don't want people like
judging it based on
pointing out reality. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that 21 seconds is literally like,
you're not even breathing at that point. I'm panicking. Anxiety's building. Blood pressure.
This is the video I saw.
Ever got knocked out last night, my people. Patricio Manuel, born Patricia Manuel, was knocked out last night, man. How do y'all feel about this? He's transgender. He was born a female, turned
gay. You know straight. What I'm saying? Now he just a hook.
It's like a couple like sizing jabs and then bang.
Undefeated. Now has one loss and has been knocked out in the first round. First 20 seconds. It's a little tough to take right now, but how do y'all feel about this? Do you feel like some people will be saying he shouldn't be facing other men now that he's a man? Why not? Should he be facing females? Wouldn't that be unfair? So let me know how y'all feel.
Called.
Sir.
There's a reaction video is more than
back just to get that Dinkster video up again.
Do it.
Can you stop feeding
him views? You want to subscribe, Tim? Subscribe. You just want to see it randomly.
Somebody ring the Dinkster.
Subscribe. Just subscribe. It's just there. Just do it. Do it.
Look at his face.
Come on. I have. Do it.
No, I'm not subscribing.
Subscribe.
No, because I'm not signed in on this. That's why.
Ah.
Yeah.
I'll send you the link later and you can subscribe to it when you get home. So, obviously.
You think it's that hard to type in Dinkster and see like the 4 billion
But you
videos?
Want it to come up when you're just in your algorithm.
Somebody ring the Dinkster.
I'm just going to send it randomly now.
That's going to be the best callback for the whole episode.
So they say, you know how they're saying like, oh, there's not that conversation's not there, that, you know, it's like women shouldn't be fighting and men shouldn't be fighting women or men doing women's sports, mm-hmm. Okay? The conversation isn't there why women shouldn't be in men's sports because that's clear evidence of why.
Of course.
So they don't even bother with that argument.
Yeah.
And that's just proved the point without ever even having to be said.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what more can you say, like, when it's the reverse, like, which is the main topic?
Nothing at all.
while we're on sports, did you see how China's in the news about the Olympic doping?
China. Something. The only thing I saw about
in the Tokyo Games.
Have they started? No. They just distributed the flame from Greece.
No, it's in France this year, Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last one was Tokyo, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, leading up to it, like a whole bunch of Chinese swimmers tested positive
for drugs.
Remember them with the shoulders in the '90s? They're built like freaking Ivan Drago.
But apparently they swept it under the rug. They let them compete and they won all these golds.
Uh-huh.
How did they sweep it under the rug?
They didn't disqualify them. They didn't ban them. They just let them compete in the Olympics, even though they tested them like 2 months before the Olympics. They tested positive. It's all over the news, sports news. And they basically just let them. And now there's all these swimmers now that are in line to get gold medals.
Mm-hmm.
China's like, oh, we'll take the investigation lead on this. I'm like, yeah, no, that's not happening.
China, are you aware that your players have been doping?
China number one.
Okay. All right.
Fair call. Move on. I don't know. Doping in sports, a grey area.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way?
Yeah.
Because is it pushing peak performance? I mean, you can't just take drugs and not train. Like, does that make sense?
No, you still have to train. Yeah.
You either take your drugs and don't compete, or you compete and don't take drugs.
But it's meant to be a natural athleticism, what you can control, what you can do, the things that you can eat and train for. Okay. Not
it's I'm not for doping in sports and saying it's fine. I'm not. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that there's a lot of factors to it. I mean, what is essentially doping in sports?
Injecting, steroid into your cock.
Do you remember when all the USADA shit happened with Essendon?
Back, yeah.
You know, 10 years ago, whenever it was.
Well, that was a big drama.
They argue that it was just untested or some shit. You know, it was legal everywhere else, not here. It's sports science. It goes down the line of sports science. But
wasn't it literally hormone... I can't remember something, what it was.
Yeah, promoted repair.
But it was literally something on the illegal list.
Yeah. So I agree.
How do you justify it? Like, we're going to take you to court.
I mean, look at, what's his name? Armstrong.
Yeah.
He was a cyclist. Come on, man. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but there was like 20 out of the top 20 athletes of cycling, like 3/4 of them tested doping.
Yeah.
Don't you remember Bill Burr had that whole thing?
Yeah.
Mm. You're roided up, our roided up guy, but you're roided up guy. That's all you're pissed off about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. They still ran the 100 meters in under 10 seconds. Do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
I don't know.
But the point of the drugs is that they're actually giving you a leg up where you probably wouldn't even be able to compete.
Yeah.
They're putting you on the same level, if not higher level.
So maybe they should just let anyone take anyone, anything. Just have everyone roided up to the gills.
No, that's the whole point. So, like, the point is, like, say no one's roided up.
Oh, so you have the roided era and the pre-roided era.
Wasn't that what like Barry Bonds did? Like just smashing all these homers?
Yeah, Barry Bonds. And who was the other slugger? Maguire?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think his name was Maguire. They were roided up to the... And Sammy Sosa.
Mm.
They were roided up to the gills. They were just smashing dingers every single game. Attendance had never been bigger.
While we're talking about baseball, we're going to talk about...
Everyone's complaining baseball's boring again.
A plane just goes down and gets hit by a ball.
Dude, legit.
Oh, was that me?
They were the most roided up players and they were smashing the ball.
Yeah, but they got their comeuppance in the end.
Now, they didn't have anything stripped.
I'm pretty sure they, like, lost deals and they got fined.
You know what? Personally, if they're willing to take something and, like, deal with the side effects that could potentially come up, then good on them. Who cares?
I don't agree with the fact that...
But the whole point is, like, you're playing a sport. The whole point of a sport is,
competition.
Like, it's competition.
Yeah. If someone's so willing to...
competition if someone... Like, sure, people have natural ability that's better than other people's.
Because it doesn't matter about that anymore. This is the problem, is that it doesn't matter about, like, your natural abilities. Doesn't matter about any kind of, like, shame that's linked to it. There's nothing. It's just, like, can you be better? And that's why I kind of disagree with, like, UFC and stuff like that, because a lot of the times, yeah, most players are really honorable and they good sports, but then you get the idiots that are, like, rude, obnoxious, like, just degrading to the other people. Yeah. And that brings down the whole, like, athleticism part of it.
Sportsmanship.
That's not what it is. Yeah. The sportsmanship's gone. So, honestly, whatever.
Did you see the thing about the AFL removing the weight classification from players?
No.
No. So they can have, like...
They no longer list weight and height, like, in the player listings.
Why? Oh.
Why?
Why?
Oh, because the player's weight is no one's business but their own. It's body shaming.
What are we doing?
Outside of the fact that statistics like that to, you know, gauge a player's dexterity and strength and all that sort of shit. Like, hey, the guy weighs 90-something kilos, but he's built like a brick shithouse and he runs 100 meters in 10 seconds. That says a lot. Nah. His weight is his business. We can't be shaming him.
What about height? What's
yeah.
But they're all, like, fit. They're all very fit.
Doesn't matter. And they're taking the skin fold tests away from juniors now as well. So when you're going through, like, all the footy academies and stuff, they do the skin fold tests, to see what kind of potential body fat you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And for most players, for most kids, it's like a motivator. It's like, mate, this is where you're at. This is where you need to be at. We can see if you don't do the work in over the summer, you're not going to hit, like, you know, your strides. And
who's the president of the AFL at the moment?
I don't know, I can't remember his name. Anyway. But they're removing those skin fold tests.
It's dumb.
And I think it was Matthew Lloyd that came out and said, if you can't handle a skin fold test through the academy, you're not going to last in the AFL.
Yeah, no, of course not.
You know what I mean?
You won't keep up.
Ironically, need thicker skin. You know what I mean? Matthew Lloyd's wrong about a lot, is right about a lot. This is something he's right about.
Hmm.
It's like, give me a break, man. This is literally seeing where you're tracking as a player. Maybe it's the kick up the ass some players need to get their shit
sorted.
You need
to be in the top percentage of humans on the planet.
So
to
essentially,
do these
it sounds like they're offering participation ribbons now in the AFL.
You're a winner! Yeah, we're there.
Yeah.
It's because it's.
We're probably not far off the police force just removing.
Oh, they lowered the standards.
The physical test. Did they?
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They recently just lowered the standards to encourage
the physical
recruitment.
Tests.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. We're screwed.
Do you remember when the cops. Do you know what I remember, man? When we were kids.
They were giants.
The local cop, like when someone pinched a bike or something happened, the cop that came out, 9 times out of 10, he looked like he was built in Vietnam, man. He always had like a shaved head, tats. Like if he had tats, just like, what are you people doing here? And it'd be like someone's uncle. You
it's
know what
my
I mean?
Bike.
His name was definitely Robert or something. You know what I mean? Like
he was Rob
staunch.
Bruce.
Yeah. Bruce, Rob, like these full staunch, like white Anglo names from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Now you see these cops, I see when I go to the footy, dude, they're built like you know, my nephew. Like
they're
literally.
Built like Mickey, they're built like Mickey from Mooney Valley.
Oh, they're a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a cop. What are you going to do?
Hmm.
Like, what happens if something goes down? Like, what are you physically going to do?
Stop! Well, how many times are there assaults on female cops?
Yeah.
The amount of assaults on female cops in Victoria and in Australia.
Help! Yeah. No, it's not, I'm not disparaging the other gender. I'm just
no,
it could be anyone.
Size-wise, like, but like you got smaller sized cops who aren't physically imposing.
And all that
and
means
it's the known fact that they're being assaulted.
And all that means is they're probably gonna be quicker to go for lethal.
Yeah.
Because they can't defend themselves. Hand to hand, like any kind of physical contact.
Yeah, and they've just lowered the standard to encourage recruitment.
When you say lower the standard, do they say what? Because I actually did the test.
Did you?
And I failed, yeah.
I would imagine you would.
Oh, absolutely. Imagined. The psychology would have been all over.
Like, I was doing it with a friend. I was just helping him do it because he was applying. And we were doing it together. And I was like, it's pretty full on. Like, you've got to be pretty fit.
Yeah.
And I got it to maybe about halfway of the beep test before I tapped out. Like, I did everything else. I was okay. Like, the grip strength, because I was training that anyway. I did all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right hand was better, a lot better than the left. And then, the beep test just killed me. I couldn't do it. Got halfway.
Just collapsed in the pantheon.
I didn't know. We're on the track in Murrumbina. You know the
position.
You know the park in Murrumbina?
Yeah.
They got a track there. And I just collapsed. I was like, I'm out. I'm done here.
Okay. So, WA Police, 450 to 500 new recruits short of promised target to bolster numbers. Pledged to boost the frontline police numbers by 950 by the middle of this year in a bid to stem the flow of police officers leaving the force. Only about half of the numbers have been recruited. Unable to compete with more flexible jobs despite attempts, blah, 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 blah. We're still 450 to 500 short, yada, yada, yada. Marketing. The force numbers saw significant reduction in police numbers. This is in WA. A lot of people are retiring and just leaving the borders. That's pretty much why WA's got an issue. Yeah, but I can't remember where I was reading this or I heard it.
I saw a recent one saying that they were not hitting targets in Victoria.
Yeah.
Recruitment.
Hang on. Police departments facing a hiring crisis in America.
But does it make sense? Because you've got like mediocre influencers on the internet who are making considerable amounts more than people that are protecting us on a daily basis. Like, this is what we've come to. This is what we've done to ourselves. There's more money going to people like Fat, whatever his name was.
Vincenzo.
Oh, Big Vincenzo.
Yeah, whatever. Big Vincenzo. There's more money going to probably him with his 70K followers than it is to your local cop that's trying to protect your suburb.
Yeah, what's a cop making? It's like 85K or something, plus your benefits and all that sort of thing.
I think it's less than 85.
It's not bad. It's not bad money.
It's not good for a long-term career.
But you're a cop. You're dealing with the scum of society. You're on call 24/7.
You're not at risk of dying on a daily basis because you go and check in at the office.
Mm. Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah, and the shifts are shit too, man. Like, you get midnight shifts.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you have to pull a double.
I went to get a StatDeck signed, like, about a month or two ago, and it was literally 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and girl there was just signed. She was a constable. Like, what time did you start? She says, oh, literally, like, half an hour ago. Like, she had, like, a Red Bull and a donut or something just sitting on the counter. I was like, fuck, what time you finish? Like, yeah, like, 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, imagine that, Moorabbin Police Station at 10:30 at night. Like, you'd be fucked. You know what I mean?
It's a main hub, that one, too. So, you'd get a lot of calls coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Who'd want to be a cop in this day and age?
No one. I'm blown away that people are even interested in it still.
one of the guys, one of my mates, he, like, he's a air conditioner repair dude.
Mm.
And the guy he works for, his son works there as well. And he's been trying to consistently get in to be a cop for probably the last 3 years. But he keeps failing the
psych test.
Psych test.
Mm.
They keep saying he's too soft.
Too soft?
Too soft. Everything else is fine, but he keeps failing because he's too soft. He's too, I don't want to say agreeable, but he's just like, he's not hard enough.
He probably doesn't.
Oh, like he's easy to get pushed over.
He gives
over
too much benefit of the doubt. Yeah. That's probably what it is.
Too much benefit of the doubt.
You got to think of the worst.
Too trusting,
almost.
Maybe. Yeah.
You've got to, dude, to be a cop, you need to be completely black and white. Like, there's like a line. And it's like, nah, you're wrong. This is it.
Yeah.
Even if there's like just suspicion of.
Oh, you were stealing bread for your child?
Yeah.
It's one of those like, oh, okay, take the bread. Well, no,
you're stealing bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
You broke the law.
You know, I can't.
Papa? No, shut up. Right. Your father stole bread.
Papa? Okay. Your father is a criminal.
You're going to need your mother to come in here. Mummy's dead. Well, you know.
Get the security bat. Get the bat now.
Can you imagine?
Little girl, this is your last warning.
Unclips the pepper spray.
Some bread.
Click. Andy, like, the kid is like, they take your dad to jail. Andy, like, crouches down. The kid's like, your father's a criminal. He's a bad man.
Your mother was a crack whore. Don't make the same mistakes.
I'll be watching you as well.
The kid's just left there on its own on the street.
It's like, little girl, this is your social worker.
Right, let's go. Just leave the kid in the dark.
He's holding a teddy bear and that's it.
Starts crying. Ma'am, going to need you to calm down. You're a nuisance to society. Everyone has the right to peaceful enjoyment.
Calm down. Calm down.
You're getting out of control here, little
bit. Force will be used.
I'm going to warn you one last time.
I need some backup.
I've got an out of control woman in here.
What? It's got the words. What a scumbag, man. You would too.
Gonna need you to bring the size 3 handcuffs.
Like the plastic ones.
You know what I've been watching a lot of lately in YouTube? Kids losing
those
a plot.
Those gunmetal grey ones, the plastic ones. Or just to chew up your wrist.
They just go straight through.
Then you'd break them, you sticky tape to fix them. That was the same. Anyway.
So like teenagers, kids and teenagers that like running amok in their house.
Yeah.
And, like, cops have been called out and they have, like, the kids won't shut up. Like, a girl that's run away from home 3 times in a week. So, they go to where she's at. She's at a house with grown adults who are sharing drugs and alcohol and she's 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know? And so, the cops are there.
The joys of the internet, man. This is what we watch.
Bad parents.
50%, like, 90% of the time, these kids get put into, like, a wrap, they call it. They basically just wrap them up. So they can't, they're just like little cannolis. And they just throw them in the back of the cop. This is in America. They throw them in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
And they just, some of them like not visceral, like animalistic screams like coming out of them.
It's not even kids though. Like I told you I got hooked on the Sovereign Citizen videos and I got hooked on the scofflaws getting arrested. I try to avoid it, all right? The other day, because I'm in the process, obviously, of cleaning up an apartment. So I'm trying to keep my mind occupied while I'm working and whatever. So I'm just putting music on, right? For the first time ever, I'm just going to YouTube, G-Funk playlist, press play, and I just listen to music. Some reason, the algorithm kicked in and, like, the Sovereign Citizen video started again. And these ones were all, like, drunk pests that had been kicked out of venues and then fighting with cops.
Hmm.
And, again, I'm trying to figure out why I find it so fascinating.
Do they get justice?
No.
No, sorry, to the cops.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what it is.
They pull them in, and I'm looking at these individuals, and I keep telling myself, who out there knows people like this that react like this that would be happy to have them as a friend and voucher them?
That's a good point.
These idiots are getting arrested or getting themselves thrown out of venues, and the complaint is just a trespass. It's like they were drunk and disorderly in the bar. We kicked them out. They get thrown out. They don't know why they get thrown out. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I'm not drunk. You're clearly drunk. Can't get through the sobriety test. Start firing arguments. Do you know who I am? You're fucked. I've got a lawsuit for you. You're useless. They fight with cops and they're literally being told, you've broken the law. You're getting in cuffs. You're putting in the thing. No. And they're still arguing, still fighting, screaming like animals.
Mm.
And now the video is going to be on YouTube for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And I watch it. I'm like, these people actually exist. These are real people. They're not actors. How would you feel if you saw your mate, like, on one of these YouTube videos,
Oh, I'm unfriend.
You'd literally be like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. I actually have, during COVID, a great example. Yeah. Someone who shall not be named was making a very loud point and trying to convert others to join this cultalistic sort of behavior.
Yeah.
Unfriend.
I know someone as of late who I've known for maybe, shit, since 2007, six, like nearly 20 years. And they sort of disappeared in around the COVID period, like moved away, did their thing, whatever. And we touch base every now and then with random shit. And they've employed a very sovereign citizen-like yes. mentality.
Yep.
Right? And basically did the whole, you need to read the articles and stuff by this random influencer on Instagram. Your name is a proprietary limited, blah, blah, blah. The government's making money off you. I'm not going to be paying taxes anymore. I'm not going to be paying rego anymore. I'm not going to be doing any of this shit anymore, blah, 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 blah.
See how long that lasts once they find you without a registration on your car.
But that's what I mean. How is the one... I don't understand where the logic comes, where these sovereigns think that they're somehow exempt because of some... When you're assigned at birth, you're assigned a number which becomes a commodity, which becomes profitable for some, you know, other corporation behind the government. All this shit, yeah? Just think about it logically. You drive a car on the road. You have a license to prove you know how to control this vehicle so you don't kill anyone, yeah?
Because if something happens, they had nowhere to find you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah? You drive roads which need to be maintained by local government and state government. The roads need to be maintained. Someone needs to pay for these roads, hence taxes. Why would you be exempt from paying taxes to drive roads?
I think their argument is wrong. It's not paying taxes, not being a part of society. It's... Why do I have to pay so much in taxes? That could be an argument. Can we allocate better funding in better areas?
But that's not the argument that sovereigns are making. They're making the argument that we don't need to.
That's what I mean. It's like either their brain cells have just evaporated completely or the IQ in general, they're raised just
the in a very- The laws apply to them when they want them to apply to them.
No, that's not what it is. It's uneducation, man. They're uneducated.
It's cultish. No, it's a cult. As long as humans have been organized, taxes have existed.
That's what I mean.
Borders have existed.
Like-
They realize pretty quickly. Humans realize pretty quickly that okay, we need to. In order for this to work, we need to be able to pay for it somehow.
Yeah,
let's source.
It's
funds
a collective
as
yeah.
a collective from the community. Let's source the funds
for the greater good.
For the greater good, so we can maintain roads. So we can build.
So
the local
you can
church,
use them.
The
kids,
local
your
school,
friends, your families,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. How is that so hard to understand? I mean, we've come this far. How many years of, like, formal society have
because
we had?
Because some people built the roads and other people died on it. And they're the people that are dying on them.
What do you mean dying?
Just they're just falling over and not being any kind of benefit to
when
society.
When were taxes first implemented? I want to see this.
Oh, that'd be early on. I mean, we're talking
50s at least.
No.
Nah, man.
Christ, man.
What? 50s BC?
The way he said earlier, like,
I'll say,
I can lean into these.
I'll say, like...
Okay, here
I
we go.
Say like a 1000 BC.
Pretty much from the history. Beginning of time.
Well, once currency was
when Moses came down, he had GST on those tablets.
Yeah, he did actually. That was that. Yeah.
Someone heard of the name Jesus and they're like, GST.
As soon as currency was basically implemented.
As soon as the first service was active and someone was like, I'm going to sell you a piece of bread. And they're well, how much of that bread am I going
to
take?
Brothers, I invite you to my final dinner. It will be a cover charge.
$20 per head.
It's a public holiday today.
Any free drinks?
Hang on. I have an article which was delivered at the IAAO Conference on Assessment Administration in Boston, Massachusetts in 2004.
As soon as ceased to exist and currency came in.
Yeah.
So taxation...
Or emperors and rulers.
I'll just skip over some of this, right? But taxation has existed in various...
China?
I've got the article in front of me.
Well, you're taking your time.
Okay, taxes came in good, bad.
The first king.
Can you...
The first king, you
I
say.
Reckon the first king that was implemented... Like, the first ruler basically implemented...
Richard the Lionheart.
What a great
How
name,
How was Richard
the
Lionheart the first king?
It's a cool name.
Lionheart is it's definitely... Cool. If that was my ruler, I wouldn't fuck around. I'd be like, yes, sir,
Have
I'm
you
going
seen
to
what his name is in
taxes.
Latin, man? It's the best.
What is it?
It's just like Richard the Lionheart, but the way it's not like... It's Guard de Leon.
Yeah.
But the way that Guard is spelled is like old French writing. Yeah. So it's like A and U together.
Okay. Let me read the
linguistics, man.
Taxation has existed in various forms since civilization began. In days of old, the source of wealth was land and in its proceeds. Before the existence of a monetary system, taxes were paid by a percentage of crops raised. Through most of history, the tax assessor and tax collector were the same person. Therefore, tax collector is used interchangeably with tax assessor. Blah, 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 blah. The earliest known tax records
China.
Dating from approximately 6,000 years BC are in form of clay tablets found in the ancient city-state of Lagash in modern-day Iraq, just northwest of the Tigris and Euphrates.
Euphrates.
Yeah, Euphrates River. The king used a tax system called Bala, which meant rotation. So the assessors would focus on one area of the city-state, assessing and taxing one area each month, thereby breaking down the arduous task into more manageable components. Yeah? Taxes were low, but in time of crisis or war, the tax rate was 10% of all goods, which was primarily composed of food.
Mm-hmm.
Then you fast forward. Oh,
yeah, because tax was originally, you're right, consumables, not money. Yeah.
And then property taxes were used in Egypt, Babylon, Persia, and China throughout the ancient world. Most people were poor and lived in hovels. The primary focus of early property taxation was land and its production value.
You got illiterate Iraqis back 6,000 BC who could figure that out.
Yeah.
8,000 years ago.
Yeah. And you got Shazer and Baza.
Ancient Egypt had a thriving culture that began around 5,000 BC, lasted thousands of years. Taxes were levied against the value of grain, cattle, oil, beer, and land. Some scribes were tax assessors. Fast forwarding, there were tombs and monuments for assessors in Egypt and Syria that rivaled some of those as kings. In Egypt, the famous Rosetta Stone was actually a tax document granting exemption to priests.
That's hilarious.
Tax assessors were also highly valued officials in ancient Greece. Near the Acropolis, there is a monument to the honest tax assessor, the Athenian general Aristides, 530 BC to 468 BC. Completely reformed the property tax assessment system in Athens while serving as a treasurer. And, man, this goes on. Literally through time.
So there you go.
Alexander, while he was a military genius, he was also an able administrator. As he moved through Persia, India, and Egypt and other parts of the world, he left administrators with explicit instructions on how to implement property taxes. Alexander did that. And that was like roads, ports, like overhauled everything. In 300 AD, Romans paid property taxes on the value of land, buildings, livestock, trees, vines, other personal property.
It's been going on from the start,
from the beginning. Yeah.
Literally, from ancient times.
The first recorded times,
technically even the animal kingdom has taxes when someone gets a kill and the pack leader has to come in and they're entitled to a portion of your kill.
Yeah, the pack leader takes the meaty part of it.
And then everyone else scavenges.
Gives it out. There's a hierarchy. There's a need of hierarchy.
They can figure it out these people can't.
But how do we get there?
So you're saying these people are dumber than animals?
Oh, animals are far superior to the human race.
Superior.
Yeah, they can survive in the wild. Most people can't.
But I want 100%. But the point is like these people have grown up in the same society as we have. How do they buy into this narrative?
Bad parents. Their algorithm is different to your algorithm.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it comes down to.
30 years ago, we had the same algorithm.
They're getting the sovereign citizen ones where they're winning. And you're getting the ones where the cops are coming in and delivering justice.
Or the videos are just ending before they get tased.
Yeah.
I love watching
them. Can you roll your window down? Put your window down. No, I'm not putting my window down.
I don't have to do nothing. And the video ends.
Just stops.
Then you see the next one and it's-
And that's where the video ends.
That guy's awesome. No, so like I randomly sometimes get videos that are completely opposite of what I would normally watch.
Yeah, it's like gaming videos, and then he gets breastfeeding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or the gay bathhouse videos suddenly pop up.
Blue Oyster Club.
How did this come up, John? I watched that last night, Police Academy 4. Yeah. I saw a video pop up on Instagram. I'm like, this is Police Academy 4. So I found it on a streaming service and watched it.
Don't you find that occasionally, like randomly in your algorithm, you get something that you know would not interest you
whatsoever? John, we will accept you no matter what. Just remember that.
Thank you. They test the waters.
Yes.
It's like they test the waters.
Yeah. So it's like bang, don't.
Because it stands out too.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell is that? Yeah. It's like, do not recommend this or don't recommend this channel. So it's all peace on that front for like another month and then just randomly something just pops up again. I'm like, what the hell?
The issue
is... So these are those people that, like, they're watching those videos that they normally wouldn't watch. One leads to two videos, leads to three, leads to four, leads to them down a rabbit hole, which leads to them being, basically brainwashed into a cult.
And you got to keep in mind that on the algos, if you disagree or say, don't show me this, or you thumbs down on it, they're going to keep doing it because you're interacting with the algorithm. If you just ignore it, that's... That's what you're supposed to do.
So I've been watching
John's videos.
Breastfeeding? What's his name? Hold on. Breastfeeding videos. Yes, that's right.
Do you know what's frustrating? So I ordered a pizza. My missus went and picked it up. She sends me a picture of her eating the pizza. And I said, what did you order? And she says the exact same thing that I ordered. And I said, oh, you got the same pizza as me? She goes, no, you ordered this. And I'm like,
then
why are you eating my pizza?
How are you eating pizza, of all things?
What do you mean?
It was a carb night.
He's back on the horse.
Yeah, I mean, I just got that waiting for me.
I purposely avoided eating a pizza because I thought, nah, too many carbs.
I actually haven't had pizza in a couple of weeks.
It's full of prawns. That's a good amount of prawns.
Mm.
Anyway.
So, I've been watching now a few videos on, his name's Musab Hassan Youssef.
Oh, sounds very promising.
So, this dude.
He started behaving.
Yeah. So, this guy here is basically the son of one of the founding members of ISIS? Hamas.
Al-Qaeda?
Of Hamas.
Okay. Oh, great.
And he's
the same. And you're watching his videos.
Yeah, I've been watching it. So he basically distanced himself from his father.
Oh, okay. Good for him.
And his father's put a bounty on his head because he doesn't want anything to do with being a terrorist.
Not good for him.
Yeah. And okay. So he's making the rounds in Europe and America and Australia.
So he's filming his life while trying to be on the run. That's brilliant.
No. So he's basically a spokesman.
I don't want you to find me.
But I'm currently speaking in Canada.
While he's standing there roadside, welcome to Canada, eh? What the fuck?
There's a sign behind him exactly where he is.
The dude was brought up as a Hamas terrorist.
Yeah.
As a child, grew up as a terrorist.
How did he get out?
He just had enough of it.
He walked out the gate.
He just walked out the gate.
Boy!
The dad was happy to let him go, but the second he started talking against him,
yeah,
he's like, there's a blood price on your head.
Uh-huh. So he's willing to kill his own child.
Yeah, he said, if you see him, you can kill him.
That's a great parent.
So he's been doing speeches in England at Oxford Uni and all those debates and all those things. And
he's like the North Korean chick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
But this dude is staunch. Like he looks like a terrorist.
Are you sure he's not a terrorist?
Well, he grew up as
he's
a
terrorist. Let me in your country.
It's just.
And he comes out and says,
establishing trust.
That's a nice building you're having.
Well, he's come out and said, all these people that are going to these protests, the Palestinian protests, blocking the entire city just so they can march around and feel good for, half a day.
Does he speak English?
Yeah.
It's got a Japanese accent
he's constant. Yeah, he's Japanese.
Hang on. Did I ever send you the video of the German Muslim cleric? It was a viral video, and it was the world is not ready for Islam in German. And it's a guy screaming.
Yeah.
And he smashes the. I'm going to find it. Keep talking.
So basically, he's come out, and it's an old term, but he's using it in context of these people, useful idiots.
Yeah.
So they're idiots that have been brainwashed into thinking what they're doing is for a good cause. They're the victims, even though they instigated it.
Yeah.
Crossed fences, went into civilian houses, burned babies, mass raped people, and you're saying you're useful idiots.
They're sheep,
but specifically useful idiots because you're promoting terrorists, people who want to destroy an entire race. And that's what these people are, that sovereign citizens, useful idiots.
Yeah,
one believes the other, which believes the other, which believes the other.
I'd probably remove the useful at that point, because the useful part is useful to someone, which is the terrorist,
but for
the sovereign citizens.
No, they're not useful. But the term is useful idiot because they're helping the
bad people.
Or the
wrong people.
There's heaps of interviews, at these protests, and then so river to the sea, what does it mean? And they're like, I don't know. What do you mean? Oh, I just got that. I got that sign from over there. It was handed to me when I got here. Maybe you should look up what you're actually holding up and supporting.
Yeah, but that falls back into the whole thing about all the gays for Palestine. It's like, dude, you couldn't fucking be gay in Palestine.
Yeah,
you'd
exactly.
Be killed.
Yeah, they had even though
they're like, so everybody is gay.
If you want some hilarious viewing, I saw it popped up. Dr. Phil had this dude on there. And then he had some college apologists basically for Hamas, and they got their little what do you call it, the head wrap, but it's a specific one where it's just a scarf.
The scarf is in the checkered scarf.
Yeah, but women's style, female style, so it's just
neckerchief.
I don't know, but it's just around the head. It's just a headscarf,
As in an Islamic headscarf?
Yeah, yeah.
A hijab.
But isn't that a specific... Is that...
That's where... Their face isn't covered, but the head...
Yeah, so that one there, yeah. And he's like, even the way, like, he's just putting them in their place.
Somebody ring the dinks.
It just came up automatically, man. Of course it did. I didn't do it.
That's a lie. You pressed F5.
So he's like, he's correcting them, and their facial expressions is just like bewilderment. Like, how can you be saying this? He's like, even what you're wearing, you're not even wearing it right. You call yourself a Muslim woman, but you're not even wearing it right.
Mm.
What you're wearing is something else different.
Bringen. Wir müssen die Dawa zu den Menschen bringen. Wir müssen die Dawa in jedes Haus bringen. Wir müssen die Dawa überall hinbringen. Wir können keine Blockhütte im Wald bauen, wo wir Dawa draufschreiben. Bam!
That is how Hitler started.
The German Imam, man. It's the best. I've watched that clip like 100 times. Sorry.
He's just put him in their place. It's like, what you're wearing isn't even right. Mm. Like, you're wearing it wrong. You're just here to make, you know, you're just here as a puppet.
Yeah.
You're a mouthpiece for these people.
Yeah.
And this dude here, he goes, Hamas, he goes, according to him, he goes, like, what we see, it's not even like Hamas. They're all tribes, and each tribe is a different terrorist cell.
Mm.
And he goes, so, like, at the moment, it's Hamas. Well, once they're off the board, it's going to be another tribe that's under another name.
Oh, there's just always going to be a different version of whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But he's like, even if you get rid of them, and he goes, this is something that you're going to have to pay for in blood for the next 20 years now. You know, it's just going to keep going. And the interesting thing, according, this is what he said, he goes, like, after October 7, when it happened, he goes, according to him, he sees no difference between Hamas and Palestinians.
According to him?
According to him. As a person who grew up in Palestine.
Yeah, that means nothing.
Yeah.
It's like that meme from Breaking Bad with Walter White. It's like every white woman during the Palestinian Hamas conference. Yeah. This is about me.